This is the Quality News Network. In Lebanon, the ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah is now in its fifth day. The Lebanese army has reached the southern border with Israel for the first time in nearly 40 years. However, a government spokesperson says there will be no confrontation between the army and Hezbollah. In southern Lebanon, Hezbollah is handing out cash to those whose homes were destroyed in the 34-day conflict. The group may spend as much as $150 million on the reconstruction. Israeli and U.S. officials say the money is coming from Iran and could further entrench the group in the region and thus increase its popularity. The United Nations has received pledges of 3,750 troops so far to make up the 15,000 peacekeeping force in the region. There are still concerns that the UN has not spelled out the rules of engagement. North of Baghdad today, a civilian truck convoy was attacked by gunmen who killed one guard and injured another. In a security crackdown, 77 people were detained across Iraq. Additionally, at a Baghdad mosque, a cache of arms was seized. ABC News quotes U.S. officials as saying that North Korea could be preparing for the first test of a nuclear bomb. The report cites suspicious vehicle movement at a suspected North Korean test site. At Camp David today, President Bush urged participants in the six-party talks to convince North Korea to give up its nuclear program. In India, the Taj Mahal is under stepped-up security after a handwritten letter was received, allegedly from an Al-Qaeda supporter threatening to blow up the monument. In southern Italy, a British passenger plane en route to Egypt made an emergency landing today after a note was found that indicated a bomb was on board. After a search of the plane was completed and no bomb was found, the authorities declared the incident a false alarm. Also at Camp David, a day after a federal judge ruled that the government's warrantless wiretap program is unconstitutional, President Bush said he's sure that the court decision will be overturned. He described those who agreed with the decision, which was seen as a victory for the ACLU, as naive. The Justice Department will begin an immediate appeal. In Thailand, more than 500 school children will receive low-cost laptop computers this fall. The program aims to provide up to 7 million computers to children in Nigeria, Brazil, and Argentina next year. The laptops, which cost about $100 each, run on electricity generated by a hand or foot pump. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We have business news coming up next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The People's Bank of China raised interest rates for the second time this year. China's economy grew at an 11.3% rate in the second quarter. Apple Computer says it has investigated the working conditions at a Chinese factory that makes iPods. It says there is no forced labor or child labor. However, many workers spent more than 60 hours a week, 6 days a week, exceeding the company's overtime limits. Dell Computer reported that its second quarter profits were down by half. Also, the Securities and Exchange Commission has been informally investigating the company's accounting and financial reporting practices. This news comes days after Dell announced the recall of more than 4 million of its laptop computer batteries manufactured by Sony. Boeing will shut down production of its C-17 cargo planes because Congress has not authorized any new purchases. The planes are built in Southern California, and thousands of workers and suppliers could be affected by this decision. In Detroit, Ford announced large production cuts, which will shut down U.S. and Canadian plants temporarily. The production cuts are the largest in two decades. Ford cites high gasoline prices as the reasons its truck and SUV sales are declining. Light sweet crude settled at $71.14 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. And near the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow is up 46 points, the Nasdaq is up 6 points, the S&P 500 is up 5 points. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 6 minutes past the hour. It's Friday! Welcome. That's right. For those of you who have just gotten off work and who are headed home, you're probably not listening, but hey, glad that you're off work for the weekend. It's time to try to uncover some of the insanity in the Bush administration today. And the rest of the government, because they have lost their minds. They've lost their minds. We got some interesting sound clips today, a couple of Jack Cafferty clips. Also have the reaction, the old Shrubbo, the resident decider himself, decides to weigh in on the NSA spying and illegal domestic spying program. He's decided he's going to weigh in and try to sway whoever's listening. Most people aren't, but whoever's listening. So Shrubbo himself has had a little press conference today and was quite agitated when asked about the NSA court ruling. Also, we've got some, what else do I have on the tap today? I'm going to take a look at a couple of veteran stories and also going to look at a story that was passed along to me by my friend Lottie related to traveling and identification. So it's going to be a pretty jam-packed program today. Now, also, program note, note to self, no, note to listeners. Today, again, my good friend John Fox and myself will be covering for Bob Kincaid this evening. He is traveling back from the belly of the beast, Washington, D.C., heading back to West Virginia. And it's my understanding that he won't be back in time to be able to do his show. He has graciously asked myself and John Fox if we would go ahead and cover for him again tonight. We have agreed to do so, and we'll be on from 7 until 10 p.m. this evening. In the 9 o'clock hour tonight, I can give you a little bit of a sneak preview. In the 9 o'clock hour tonight, David Rovics, who is a singer-songwriter and just a really all-around great guy, is going to be on the show. Another interview with David Rovics. I've had him on my show two or three times, he's just an amazing guy. And he's in the middle of doing a tour. He's about to release a new album, and so I wanted to get him on to talk to you guys about his music, what he's doing. So that'll be on later on tonight, of course, in about 4 hours or so. But, again, this is the Head On Radio Network, and my name is Bruce Birch. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me. My email address is bruce@brucebirch.com. Very easy to remember. I have a blog site set up at brucebirch.com with links to archives, podcasting, all that good stuff. You can also, all of our programs here on the Horn are readily available any time of the day or night. If you wake up in the middle of the night, let's just say you wake up in the middle of the night and there's a thought running through your head and you're thinking, Bob mentioned this the other night. Maybe I should go and check it. You can go right to our website at headonradionetwork.com. You can go right to the archives page, and there you will be linked to the pages of archives that Ben Birch at White Rose Society does of all of our shows. You can download the show in question and listen to your heart's content. Isn't that cool? You don't miss a show here. You don't have to, because they're all right there. Ben Birch's website. Now, Ben Birch, same spelling as mine, and I are not related. One of these days, I'm going to have to call Mike Malloy and tell him that, because I was mentioned on his show a couple nights ago, and Mike says, Bruce, is that Ben's brother? And while I am a brother of Ben in a very comrade kind of fashion, we're not related. So, we're cousins. We're very distant cousins. Probably going all the way back to Adam and Eve, perhaps, but we're not going to go there either. Point being is that the program itself, you can download all the archives over at Ben Birch's website, whiterosesociety.org. He is doing a fundraiser. If you have an extra dollar or two, please do try to help him out with keeping that thing going over there. He could certainly use it. Before I get too far into the show today, I wanted to cover something that happened yesterday. Okay? I wanted to... Sorry. Before I get too far into that, I also wanted to welcome all of our new folks from our friends at powersandmorrison.com. Those folks over there have a really wonderful community. They got some blogs, they got some editorials, they have some wonderful writers. I just, it amazes me. We on the left, who hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those of us who believe in that are really some of the most creative people that I've ever seen. Over at powersandmorrison.com, they've got a chat room, they've got it blogs, they've got feeds, they've got, you name it, they've got it. They've got a wonderful site over there, and we are really excited that we found our way over there, and they found our way over to our place, and, we sort of walk back and forth and pass each other in transit and wave and go, hey! just welcome. Welcome to all those new listeners over. Thanks for joining us. Really glad to have you aboard. Now, we had a call yesterday, and I really wanted to talk about this some today because I've had about 24 hours to think about it, or maybe 23. I had about 23 hours to think about it. We had a call yesterday from a good friend of the show, Bob, from North Dakota, and that call elicited a lot of response. And folks who understand what soldiers go through, folks who have worked with veterans, folks who have worked with combat-related disorders that are, that are as a result of direct military action and some very heinous things that they've seen or had to participate in, understand that, sometimes the only way to feel better is to let it all out. And our good friend Bob did that yesterday. And, I going back, I haven't listened to the archive, but I'd really want to. I just haven't had time yet. But one of the things that really struck me about that conversation was that, because this is Conversation Radio, folks, what really struck me about that conversation was that Bob trusted me and trusted you enough to bring his pain to us, to share it with us. Now, some would say, oh my God, you can't let people do that on the radio. Well, to those I say, kiss my ass. And you know why I say that? I say that because I believe very, very strongly that if you can't come here and share what you really feel, what you really believe, what's really going on with you, then what is the point? What's the point of doing this? Is it just for us to get on here and preach to you? No, hell no. It's not. That's not what it is. This is conversation radio. This is where we bring our pain, our happiness, our beliefs to the table, and we all share them with each other. And you know what? We walk away. We get up and we walk away from that table a better person as a result. And yesterday when Bob came on and shared that with me, it proved to me one thing, that this thing really works. That this conversation radio experiment that we're trying to do here at the Head On Radio Network really does make an impact. And if it helped one person, it was worth it. I'm going to take a break, and then when I come back, we'll get on with some other parts of this radio program today. You know, it is all about helping people. Because if we're not trying to do that, then basically everything we do is for naught. If you want to get in on the show today, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from some of you folks who never do call, who listen to the show every day without fail, but never, you know, decide never to call in. I'd love to hear from you today because I want to hear, you know, you matter to me. And I want to hear what's going on in your lives. The telephone number is 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me if you're so inclined by emailing me at bruce@brucebirch.com. And we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll get on with the rest of the program. I'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Homeland Security advisories are at the highest levels, so you and your family need to be prepared. Develop a family disaster plan and discuss it with your family. Plan how you'll stay in contact with each other and identify meeting places if you're separated. Designate a friend or relative outside of your neighborhood to contact if you can't return to your home. Go to www.floridadisaster.org for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to NAJA.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway Insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 20 minutes past the hour, and man, am I glad to be back with you again today. Boy, I've got a lot of time. You're going to be spending a lot of time with me today on the Head On Radio Network. Boy, ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy about that. I'm trying to get it out of my mouth to express it, but I'm happy about that. Why am I happy about that? Well, because I really believe very strongly in this experiment. It is an experiment. It's can we make a family kind of community out of radio? Can we do that? Can we pull people together and try to create community using this medium? I dare say it's been a smashing success. I dare say that it has been a smashing success. We've had a number of, and I'm just going to share a little bit of this with you. Now, normally you don't hear us talk about some of this stuff, and that's fine. You don't, there's so much other stuff that's going on out there in the world that you don't necessarily have to. But, I'm going to be doing the rest of the show dealing with all that, so I'm sort of taking a point of personal privilege, if you will, if you know about parliamentary procedure. Point of personal privilege. I'm taking a point of personal privilege to take this opportunity to kind of share with you the vision of conversation radio here on the Horn. Here on the Head On Radio Network, we've been going now, the first show, which was Bob, Head On with Bob Kincaid, since November of last year, or thereabouts, the reincarnation of that show. He had a show previously on WWNR in Beckley, West Virginia. I started a radio program actually in August of last year. The first couple shows were in July, and I realized that I didn't have the equipment necessary, so I started doing the show, a Sunday night show called All Things Reconsidered. What we found was each other. We found each other. John Fox and I started Fourth Estate Radio in November of last year, and those three shows were the cornerstone of the Head On Radio Network. And since then, we've taken on some wonderful people, Guy James and Mark Levine and Dr. Bill O'Brien. I've switched from doing a weekend show to a regular to doing a regular show. Joe Vecchio, Cup of Joe on the weekends. We had Rama and Grace for a while. I mean, the thing about this whole project that I think sets us apart from the rest of the crowd is that we're real people. I mean, I go to work 8 hours a day and then come home and do another 2 hours with you. And in the middle of all that, what I've come to understand is that it is about principle. Absolutely, it's about principle. It's about understanding that there is a higher calling beyond just doing my volunteerism and beyond just being a good dad and beyond just doing my 8 hours a day working with the homeless and with homeless veterans. That there is indeed a higher calling, and that higher calling, if you will, is to try to create a new conversation, not necessarily change an old one, but to create a new one. Yesterday, Bob called our show, and I know I'm keeping going on and on and on, but I feel like it's important, because the only way that we're going to be able to change this nation is if we create community. There's no other way. Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local. Absolutely. Because the only way that I've ever been able to change anyone's mind or to impact another person's thoughts about the world at large is to sit down and have a conversation with them. Whether it's over a cigar, like my friend Bob and I do, not Bob Kincaid, but another Bob. Whether it's over a cigar, like my friend Bob and I, or whether it's over a soda, or whether it's in the grocery line at the grocery store, or whether it's when I'm pumping gas and someone's standing next to me and sees the sticker on my car that says W2 the Quagmire. All those are conversations, and all of those, I believe, add up. 60% of the American public right now has no use for George Bush. I don't think that happened because people were sitting around and just sort of ignoring what was happening. I think that happened because people began to talk with each other and realize that they were being taken for a ride. He's created a war that is creating more Bobs. Bob from North Dakota's. He's created an occupation that is going to create many, 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 many more cases of PTSD, all at the same time while they are presently trying to reduce or revise the designation for PTSD. A New York Times story came out the other day, yesterday I think it was, that basically said that the numbers of PTSD, the numbers of officially diagnosed PTSD are going down. Well, yeah. They're going down, duh. Well, you want to know why they're going down? Because if you're a Vietnam veteran and you're experiencing PTSD, as much as I hate to say this, this is an established fact that they're extinguishing themselves. And if you know what I mean when I say that, yes, there are more or less veterans who are still alive presenting PTSD because those veterans are leaving us because they're not getting the proper care. Because they're not getting the proper attention paid to their issue. Because when these guys come back from Iraq, the first thing that they're told is that if you answer yes on any of these questions, we're going to have to hold you for 2 weeks before you can go home to see your family. So what do you think the guys are going to say on the PTSD questionnaire? They're going to say, no, I don't have it. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any of those symptoms. I don't wake up in cold sweats. I don't mind loud noises. And it's a damn travesty. Now, here on Conversation Radio, we heard from a guy yesterday who is experiencing that in his life right now. God love him. He's why we do this, ladies and gentlemen. The Bob from North Dakota's are why we do this. Because we believe, and anyone else who is experiencing any of those problems, whoever it is, because if we cannot try to create a systemic change that doesn't put people in that position to fight for no reason, then what have we accomplished? We've accomplished nothing. And we have to accomplish something. I am an idealist. I bring a large smattering of idealism to this radio program. And the reason why I do is because I believe that we have to have cheerleaders too. We have to have people to come along and say to us, you know what, we got to get off our butts and go do something about this. We have to put our feet in the street. We have to call our congresspeople. We have to call the judge, for instance, yesterday who had the wonderful ruling about the NSA illegal wiretapping. I did that this afternoon right before I came on air and talked to her assistant, and it was kind of cool. I'll give you that number after the break. But, and after the break, if you want to get in on the show, I really would love to hear from you. You know, some of you folks who've never called in, you know, pick a topic. We'll talk about it. Let me know what's going on in your lives, because this is, after all, how we share it. If you want to get in on the show, you can do that. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. Bruce at Bruce Birch is the email address. Head On Radio Network is the network. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Thank God for judges. They're the only ones standing in the way of Bush's lawlessness. Thursday's decision by Judge Anna Diggs Taylor represents a huge and welcome slapdown to George W. Bush. She ruled that the administration's NSA spying program undisputedly violates the Fourth Amendment, undisputedly violates the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, violates the First Amendment, and violates the separation of powers. Not mincing any words, she added, the Constitution itself has been violated. The judge shredded the administration's two main arguments, that the authorization of the use of military force against al-Qaeda somehow justifies Bush's spying, and that his commander-in-chief powers justifies that spying. The logic of the administration's latter claim, she noted, is that the president has the inherent power to violate not only the laws of Congress, but the First and Fourth Amendments of the Constitution. Such an argument, she said, must fail if we are to remain a democracy and not become a monarchy. Judge Taylor's decision not only puts the administration on notice, it puts Congress and all of us as citizens on notice that Bush is a lawbreaker of the highest order. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
The sponsor, you all have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on the subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You get very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
Oh, we won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
I can feel no sense of measure, no illusions as we take refuge in young man's pleasure, breaking down the dreams we make real.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 34 minutes past the hour, wherever you are in the world. It's not 4:20, although it's 4:35 somewhere, isn't it? Okay, we're going to get over to some stories now, get away from my little point of personal privilege and into some other things. First thing I want to do is talk about the Bush response to the to Judge Taylor's ruling. And actually, let's see here. I might even have a video that I might be able to play for you. As a matter of fact, I do. And I'm going to go ahead and play this for you. I'm going to play you a video. Pay close attention to your speaker, because... Yeah, that's just stupid, isn't it? It really is. I'm going to go ahead and play this, and we'll talk about the reaction here in just a second. This is George Bush talking about his reaction to Judge Taylor's NSA ruling.
Such a manner as to help rid the world of the threat.
Mr. President, the federal ruling yesterday that declared your terrorist surveillance program unconstitutional, the judge wrote that it was never the intent of the framers to give the president such unfettered control. How do you respond, sir, to opponents who say that this ruling is really the first nail in the coffin of your administration's legal strategy in the war on terror?
Hmm. I would say that those who herald this decision simply do not understand the nature of the world in which we live. You might remember last week working with people in Great Britain, we disrupted a plot, people trying to come and kill kill people. This country of ours is at war, and we must give those who are whose responsibility is to protect the United States the tools necessary to protect this country in a time of war. The judge's decision was I strongly disagree with that decision. Strongly disagree. That's why I instructed the Justice Department to appeal immediately. And I believe our appeals will be upheld. I made my position clear about this war on terror. And by the way, the enemy made their position clear yet again when we were able to stop them. The American people expect us to protect them.
So why don't you do it?
And therefore, I put this program in place. We strongly believe it's constitutional. And if Al-Qaeda is calling into the United States, we want to know why they're calling.
Want fries with that?
And so I made my position clear. It'd be interesting to see what other policymakers and how other policymakers react.
It sucks!
Listen, thank you all very much.
And that was the decider. Of course, yes, you heard my voice in the background. We want to know if Al-Qaeda is calling into the United States. We want to know, because if they call it into the United States, we want to make sure that we get them a cheeseburger with lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, and some of that there special sauce. Some of that special sauce. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So that's the decider's... that's the decider. He has a reaction, and he has I strongly disagree. I disagree strongly with its disagree and then the strong and Lee and disagreeing. Not to be outdone, of course. Yes, you know that. And by the way, that actually was the real the guy, the moron, the president of the United States. Yes, he said the judge's decision was I strongly disagree with that decision. Strongly disagree. That's why I've instructed the Justice Department to appeal immediately, and I believe our appeals will be upheld. I made my position clear about the war on terror, and I, by the way, the enemy made their position clear. You know, it's like there's an Etch-a-Sketch behind the camera, and they're writing stuff on the Etch-a-Sketch, and then have to clear it so that he has to, you know. I put this program in place. We strongly believe it's constitutional. Okay. Well, it's not. And a federal judge has ruled that it isn't, and a federal judge has also at the same time issued an injunction, which of course was stayed until the arguments on September 7th. But the same judge issued an injunction. Now, I called the judge's office this afternoon, and here's the number. If you are listening to this show and you want to call Judge Taylor and say, thank you, Judge, for all of the wonderful things that you're doing in upholding the United States Constitution, here's the number. Judge Anna Diggs Taylor. Pay attention. 313-234-5105. 313-234-5105. Judge Anna Diggs Taylor. Now, you probably won't get to talk to her directly because apparently they are completely overwhelmed with telephone calls coming into that line. I talked to one of her assistants, one of the ladies who answered the phone. Just a wonderful, wonderful woman to talk to. She's just really neat woman to talk to. And I said, and I asked her, of course, first of all, and, you know, being the radio guy, I said, I'd love to get her on the air. And she says, no, she's not doing any interviews at all. None. Zero. It's okay. Not even for little old me? Please, 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 please. No, she's not doing any, Judge Taylor is not doing any interviews. But she is accepting kudos. I mean, I said, please share with her. Please share with her that I said thank you very much for being a true American and upholding the ideals upon which this nation was founded. Please share with her that I think that she did a wonderful job in issuing this order, and that it was very intelligent. I mean, were very well written, very well researched, and extremely brilliant. The ruling is brilliant. If you haven't had a chance to read it, please do go to ACLU.org. There's a copy of it in PDF form there on their website, ACLU.org. But if you want to call her and say thank you, you can do that. It's a Chicago number. It's a 313-234-5105. 313-234-5105. I'll mention it again at some point in the show, because to me it's extremely important that we thank those people who are standing up for our rights. Now, the shrub, for his reaction, he was very agitated. In the video. Now, you can't watch it because you're listening. Of course you can watch it. You can go to, if you want to watch this, go to rawstory.com, and there's a video there. It links to a Bush condemns judge's ruling against NSA wiretap program. Now, the shrub, the decider, you know, he really believes what he says, I think. And what's so unfortunate about that is that there is no intelligence put in place. Virtually all of the intelligence that the president, all the CIA work, all this stuff, everything that they've made decisions on about the war, everything that they've made decisions on about Al-Qaeda has been really bad. Now, I, for one, am not against terrorists who might try to kill innocent civilians, whether they're Islamic terrorists or Christian terrorists or whatever they are. They need to be caught and brought to justice. Killing is killing, and it's insane, and we do not want more killing, right? So we want to be able to have the tools like the FISA court that was created for this purpose to be able to have a check and balance. It's about having the check and balance, and I think that's what's most important in all of this. He doesn't realize that he's not God. He doesn't realize that he's not a king. We don't have kings in the United States. We have no need for kings in the United States at all. Some might, I don't. We have a need for leaders. Leaders who are, in essence, trusted servants. Leaders who understand what the people want and act accordingly. Leaders who are not, who don't arrogantly use their power, and instead lead the people in a humble way. I don't know that George Bush would know humble if it bit him on the ass. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't know it. The funny thing is that this Judge Taylor, the one that the right wing is now calling an activist judge, if I hear that again, I'm going to puke. She has the power of the day in her hand, and she used it for good. So please call her and say thank you. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll finish out this hour. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. I'm glad you joined me today. It's Happy Friday. We're going to talk about some other things besides the NSA wiretapping, illegal, domestic spying kerfluffle. We're going to talk about some other stuff. After this break, I'll be right back. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right. Very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program where we attempt to try to do whatever it is that we do. What is that you say? We'll figure it out. Well, let's go straight over to the phone lines. We have Jim who has been holding. I'm sorry, Jim. I didn't realize you were holding this long. Jim, how are you doing today?
Just fine, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good. I can barely hear you. Having problems here on the audio, I guess.
Okay. Is that a little bit better?
Much better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, pursuant to what you were saying about the caller yesterday, I can understand what you're saying. Personally, I have my own share of private demons as well. but I just don't feel comfortable sharing them in this forum. You know, I have my own means of dealing with them best I can. And I've been on both sides of the desk as far as in the military is concerned, as far as being the one to talk to and being the one having to talk to the other person, having worked with veterans and things of that nature.
Right, right.
And believe me, I know exactly what you talked about. And personally, I'll share this with you. I have to see a clinician and a physician 9 times a year to deal with some of the things that I deal with.
I'm glad that you're doing that.
Well, yeah, and it's the only way I can do it. To break down is it's just not my style or it's just not my thing. You know, each person has his own way of dealing with whatever.
Absolutely.
And this is one reason that I have found solace in spiritual things, because I know that one day I'm going to have to die and account for myself, and this gives me a feeling of comfort.
And you know, and that's a good thing, Jim.
It is a good thing, and you know, that somebody cares and somebody beyond this world, because one day we're all going to have to leave it, and unfortunately that's just the way it's all been set up. And
one here gets out alive, right?
That's the way it is. That's right. Nobody gets out alive, and you have to have something to hold on to. And I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and sometimes, you know, it's I think about things, and I can find my sanity racing toward the edge of a cliff. And there's one thing. I have a flag in a wooden case at the headboard of my bed, and over that flag, there's a copy of the windows in the National Cathedral. And it's a picture of Christ with a lamb. It says, "I am the Good Shepherd." And it has a light behind it. And that gives me a great deal of source of comfort at night. It does. Because when you're there alone in the night, and you start thinking about things that have happened in your life and screams that you've heard and things that you've seen, believe you me, it will make a believer of you. Or it has me. Now, I can't speak about anyone but myself.
Sure. And you know something, Jim? I mean, and in the end, you know, all we really want, this is my belief, and you could tell me that I could be wrong with this, but in my short almost 37 years of being on this planet, one of the things that I have really seen in my observations is that all we really want, you know, most of us, is to feel loved.
Well, that's a very important part of the human psyche, is to have someone care about you and to know that they do. And it's a pillar stone of any type of counseling or counseling strategy, I would think.
Sure.
And you're right there. But moving on from that, into the recent court decision, this judge is a Carter appointee, I believe, is she not?
Yes, she is.
Well, let me tell you something. I happen to sometimes listen to some of these right-wing stations at night, and they are going absolutely ape over this thing. I mean,
good.
I have never heard such invective. And obviously, an arrow has found its mark. And, of course, now Bush is going to try to have this thing struck down, and there's a good chance he probably will. And, you know, this is something about this man. I know you and Fox like to have your jokes about him and stuff like this, and I love to laugh, and I'm certainly no prude, as you well know.
Sure.
But honest to God, there is nothing funny about this man. You know, as far as I'm concerned, he is just as dangerous to me as Adolf Hitler was in the 1930s, and people used to laugh at him. And then one day when he reached his pinnacle of power, he said, "Now who's laughing now?" And, you know, this guy scares me half to death. Because he really believes that he is on some type of messianic trip or some type of thing. He has been given this mandate by God, by heaven. And, you know, people like that scare me half to death.
You know, when he first got elected, Jim, they had this, I don't know if they still have it on the White House website, but they used to have this little video where George Bush walked around the Oval Office, and he pointed out all of the various paintings on the wall and why he had them there, and he had all of these little busts, little plaster busts of different presidents from history.
Wartime president?
Yeah, and every single one were wartime presidents, and every painting he had on the wall was related to a war of some sort. I mean, it was very plain to see that he saw himself, even before September 11th, as this was what his role was going to be.
Well, that's basically part of his makeup and, you know, and his psyche. And I really believe this man has some very serious problems. I mean, I understand that back in his earlier days, before he got into politics and was trying to run for Congress in Texas and didn't make it, or one of his speeches was booed, that he even drove his car into the picture window of the house that they were living. I don't know if that's true or not. I've heard that. And, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, and things like that. Well, I'm not going to condemn anybody for that, but I don't want them to be sitting in the Oval Office trying to pretend like they're off the wagon, out there on the wagon, when in fact they might not be. And, you know, when I think that there's a guy sitting outside his bedroom door with all those nuclear codes at EWO,
yeah,
it absolutely sends chills up and down my spine.
He is. Well, you know, and actually, my understanding, and I could be completely
wrong. I felt bad enough with Reagan because he was just an idiot, a total idiot, in my opinion. But this guy,
he's
just
scary.
Much.
He's scary.
Yeah, he is. I mean,
and you know, I think though, Jim, just as an aside, I think that part of the reason why, and I know for me at least, part of the reason why I tend to make fun of him is because we all know how dangerous he is. But I think it's almost a natural reaction to say, well, you know, we have to try to lighten the mood a little bit because, you know. Oh my goodness! If we really looked at this, it is a very morose situation. There's
it's
no doubt.
Pretty bad.
So, Jim, I've got to take a break. I'm up at the top of the hour. You want to hang on? Or you want to head on?
I'll hang on for just a minute, but not long.
Okay. All right. So go ahead and Annie, if you would put him on hold, and then we'll do the news. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. You're listening to me right now, and I'll be with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Later on, I'll be joined by my good friend John Fox. For Head On with Bob Kincaid. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to go over to some news and hear about what's happening in the rest of the world. And then we'll be back on Conversation Radio right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Quality News Network. In Lebanon, the army has reached the southern border with Israel for the first time in nearly 40 years. In many areas, the arriving troops were greeted with welcomes by rice-throwing, banner-waving crowds. In Israel, some soldiers returning from the conflict are critical of how the war was conducted. One infantryman is quoted as saying, "We fought for nothing." Others report the army rescues of wounded soldiers were slow and the supply shortages were dire. In southern Lebanon, Hezbollah is handing out cash to those whose homes were destroyed in the 34-day conflict. Each recipient is getting $12,000. The group may spend as much as $150 million on the reconstruction. Israeli and U.S. officials say the money is coming from Iran. The United Nations has received pledges of 3,750 troops so far to make up the 15,000 peacekeeping force in southern Lebanon. France has offered 400 troops. Bangladesh has made the largest offer of 2,000 soldiers. North of Baghdad today, a civilian truck convoy was attacked by gunmen who killed one guard. In a security crackdown, 77 people were detained across Iraq. Additionally, at a Baghdad mosque, a cache of arms was seized. The Iraqi government is also imposing a nearly three-day vehicle ban in parts of Baghdad as millions of Shiites converge to mark the anniversary of the death of one of their holiest figures. At Camp David, a day after a federal judge ruled that the government's warrantless wiretap program is unconstitutional, President Bush said he's sure that the court decision will be overturned. He described those who agreed with it as not understanding the nature of the world in which we live. The Justice Department will begin an immediate appeal. Also at Camp David today, President Bush urged participants in the six-party talks to convince North Korea to give up its nuclear program. ABC News quotes U.S. officials as saying that North Korea could be preparing for its first test of a nuclear bomb. The report cites suspicious vehicle movement at the suspected test site. North Korea will reportedly accept emergency food aid from the United Nations World Food Program after last month's devastating flooding. A South Korean aid group says the death toll from the disaster is close to 58,000, while North Korean state media reports it is in the hundreds. And in India, the Taj Mahal is under stepped-up security after a letter was received, allegedly from an Al-Qaeda supporter threatening to blow it up. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
New study in the British Medical Journal finds that nearly one in every five people in China are overweight or obese. The results indicate the problem is increasing in children, particularly boys. In Thailand, more than 500 school children will receive low-cost laptop computers this fall. The program, part of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, aims to provide up to 7 million computers to children in Nigeria, Brazil, and Argentina next year. Apple Computer says it has investigated the working conditions at a Chinese factory that makes iPods. It found many laborers were working more than 60 hours a week, 6 days a week, exceeding the company's overtime limits. Dell Computer reported that its second quarter profits were down by half. Also, the Securities and Exchange Commission has been investigating the company's accounting practices. In Detroit, Ford announced the largest production cuts in 20 years, which will shut down U.S. and Canadian plants temporarily. Ford cites high gasoline prices as the reasons its truck and SUV sales are declining. Boeing will shut down production of its C-17 cargo planes in Southern California because Congress has not authorized any new purchases. And the latest U.S. News and World Report survey of top colleges places Princeton at number one. Light sweet crude settled at $71.14 a barrel today. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was up 46 points, the Nasdaq up 6 points, the S&P 500 up 5. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
Right, you're back on the air with Bruce Birch. You know, I was thinking the other day about You know what? Before I do that, I want to get back to Jim because Jim is online. Jim, are you back with me? Hello, Jim.
Yes, what you see. I'm here. But, you know, okay. as the corollary to what I was saying, and I'm going to get off here, this guy, Mr. Bush, reminds me of that character in Dr. Strangelove, that Air Force general who went nuts, played by Sterling Hayden. You've seen the movie, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, General Jack Ripper, the one who's always talking about his bodily fluids and stuff. And I, you know, that's the kind of mindset I picture this man as having, you know, it's in possession of him. I don't think he's in possession of it. It's in possession of him. And he's the kind of guy, in my opinion, and maybe I'm wrong, God, I hope I am, that if he can't have it his way, he will just say, better a horrible ending than a horror without end.
Well, you know, I can't help but think, and this is again, why it's so important that we support Democratic candidates for this fall, because we can't go another 2 years with this unchecked unitary executive power. I mean, they have, you know, they've rewritten the Constitution and didn't ask permission.
Well, what scares me the most, Bruce, is we're going to have a junta, or we're going to have some type of a palace coup, that he's going to precipitate that if he can't have his way. And, you know, the military, I don't think, is really as much as behind him as he would like to think they are. And I would just, I don't know. It's when I start to envision all the possibilities, I say, well, it's time for my medication, you know?
Right, right. Well, and I do believe, you know, I guess there's a part of me that says that our system of government, you know, yes, it's imperfect, and yes, there's a lot of improvement that could be done, and that we could, you know, we could actually probably take a lesson from some of the younger democracies that are out there, you know. But on the same token, it does have a self-correcting measure, and I think that self-correcting measure is the citizens. And so I certainly hope that, you know, I know that
it works.
I do too, and I have a lot of faith in that.
It worked with Nixon, and I hope it'll work with this one. Then. All right, well, listen, thank you for your time, and you have a good afternoon.
Jim, thanks for the call, and have a great afternoon, Mike.
Hey,
have a great week
out of here.
Okay. That's our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere. Okay. Now, you know, I can't even talk. One of the things that's been happening over the last few days has been that a certain member of the media has sort of come out unchecked. And I'm going to run you a couple of clips of this gentleman, and I got to tell you, you know, this guy, he tends to have a very interesting counterpoint, if you will, to Wolf Blitzer. Now, Wolf, of course, is on the show The Situation Room, or as a friend of mine over at PowersandMorrison.com calls it, the No Situation Closet. But Jack Cafferty has been just, oh my goodness, he's been out there this week, and he has been and making his points known. I've got a couple of clips, and I want to run these for you, and the reason why I want to run them for you is because I think it bears witness to the fact that we've got people out there who really are trying to do the right thing, and they really are trying to push forward the idea that that we've got a democracy, you know, that we don't have a junta, we don't have a dictatorship here. We do have indeed a democracy. Agnes, if you could run clip number one of Cafferty.
We'll talk about that other war, Wolf. Since the war in Iraq began, we've been told on several occasions that we are achieving great success there. Shortly after the statue of Saddam Hussein was pulled down, President Bush declared mission accomplished. Then Saddam's kids were killed, Saddam was captured, we were told things are really going great now. Then after a couple of failed efforts, some kind of government was finally put in place, and President Bush declared democracy has taken root in Iraq. Somewhere around the same time, Vice President Cheney told us the insurgency was in its final throes. Al-Qaeda's number one operative inside Iraq, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, was finally tracked down and killed, and it was blue skies all around. Now we can wrap this thing up and come home. Well, try this. Since al-Zarqawi bought the farm, the number of roadside bombs planted in Iraq reached its highest monthly total ever. The New York Times reports in July 2,600 bombs exploded or were found in Iraq. That's up from about 1,400 in January, almost twice as many. Insurgent violence against American troops and Iraqi security forces has doubled since January, and the sectarian violence between Shiites and Sunnis has increased sharply. Last month alone, almost 3,500 Iraqi civilians died. So here's the question. Do you think we need a new definition of what constitutes success in Iraq? Email your thoughts to CaffertyFileCNN.com or go to CNN.com/Cafferty.
Do you think we need a new definition for what constitutes success in Iraq? I think so. I think so, Mr. Cafferty. And not only do I think that, but I also think that the idea that any success is going to happen there is a far-flung cow patty. Way back in 1991, I believe it was, another president named Bush was warned by his cabinet that if he broke it, he bought it. And he chose to not break it. His son was not so fortunate. His son decided that the best way to avenge the attack on his daddy and to secure the world's oil wells was to go in and take over this country. And guess what? They don't want democracy. Not the style that comes at the end of a gun, anyway. Sure, they want their country, and sure, they want to do what they want to do, but you know what? They're sick of us being there. The Iraqi people do not want us there. The parliament doesn't want us there. The prime minister doesn't want us there. At what point do we cut our losses and say, you know something? We need to allow this country to either to do what it's going to do. We need to back up and let them be who they are going to be. And in the middle of all that, 3,500 Iraqi civilians last month got killed. 3,500. That's the population of the town that I grew up in. The entire town. Men, women, children. 3,500. You know, that number to me is absolutely abhorrent. And listening to Cafferty cover the failed Bush Iraqi war, occupation, invasion. Listening to him cover that, you know, and I don't, you know what, I don't want to sit here and this is put it this way, very very plainly. I don't want to sit here and say. Say, well, it's all failed. It's all failed, and everything he touches turns to crap. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't say it. But it's true. Everything he touches turns to crap. Agnes, let's run that other clip about the NSA spying, if you can. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it seems like we're having this discussion about this judge's ruling sort of in the abstract, as though there's no precedent for what the judge decided. The judge, in effect, upheld the ruling of the FISA court, which says if you want to wiretap phones, you need a warrant to do so. The court was created by Congress in 1978, I think it was, and the law of the land says get a warrant. The actions of the administration have ignored the law of the land in that regard. So it's not a discussion in the abstract. It's not hypothetical. There are laws on the books against what the administration is doing. And it's about time somebody said it out loud. This federal district judge ruled today, President Bush is breaking the law by spying on people in this country without a warrant. The judge said the president is violating the First Amendment to the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, passed by Congress in 1978, specifically to prevent this kind of abuse of power. It was being done before. That's why the FISA court was created in the first place. So what does this mean? It means President Bush violated his oath of office, among other things, when he swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States. It means he's been lying to us about the program since it started, when he's been telling us there's nothing illegal about what he's doing. A court has ruled it is illegal. And it means a 75-year-old black female judge in Michigan has finally stepped in and done the job that Congress is supposed to do. namely oversight of the executive branch of government. But the government, the Congress, is controlled by the Republicans, and they are controlled by the president, and they have done nothing in the way of oversight. I hope it means the arrogant inner circle at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue may finally have to start answering to the people who own that address. That would be us, about how they conduct our country's affairs. But we want to know what you think. Here's the question. What does the federal judge's ruling that the NSA spying program is illegal mean for President Bush? Email your thoughts to CaffertyFile@CNN.com or go to CNN.com.
What does it mean? It means he's a criminal. It means he violated his oath of office. How much plainer could it be laid out? Jack Cafferty did a fantastic job with both of those editorials. And let me just tell you, it's difficult to write a powerful, hard-hitting editorial and pack it into a 45 or a minute-long segment, especially when you're staring at Wolf Blitzer out of one of those huge screens, and Wolf is going, oh, God, what's he going to say today? Oh, God, what's he going to say today? Because I'm going to get phone calls. You know, Wolf with his, 35 CNN shows. I was listening to Malloy last night, and Malloy's like, he was up to having seven shows. But Cafferty comes out, Wolf is an idiot, Annie, you're absolutely right. But Cafferty comes out, and he says, you know, these things that the rest of us are thinking, that the rest of America knows to be true. And good on you, Jack Cafferty. Keep up the good work if you're listening. I doubt you are, but if you are, keep up the good work. Because we need more truth tellers out there. We need more people to come out and say that these acts by the Bush administration violate the very bedrock, the foundation of what this country is supposed to be about. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll do some more crazy stuff. We'll talk about some veteran stories and some other stuff I've got in the hopper. You're listening to the Bruce Burch radio program. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366, or you can email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
Everywhere is freaks and Harris, dykes and Ferris. Tell me where is sanity. Tax the rich. Tell her I'm no rich no more. I love to chase the money.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace.
the nonprofit CAPTCHA Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the CAPTCHA Media Program today. Bookmark CFV.org for free loan open caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff, did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
I've seen you in the markets, I've seen you in the streets, and at your political conventions. Talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and ma. I've just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb?
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. Yes, that was David Rovics. David will be joining us tonight on Head On with Bob Kincaid at about 9 o'clock. So if you want to tune in and listen to the interview we'll have with David Rovics, he'll be with us here on the Head On Radio Network. Wanted to bring to your attention, not only do I want to bring to your attention the whole thing with all that stuff with Jack Cafferty. But there's also the FCC right now is writing rules, rewriting their rules about diversity and competition and in media and related to media consolidation. FCC is presently, let's just take a look at this. The FCC is presently taking a look at and more than likely going to try to push forward a change that would allow media ownership to basically to increase as far as to consolidate. I'm sorry. There's been a number of Congress people who have sent a letter to the FCC. Recently, and they sent it to the FCC Chairman Kevin Martin, saying that they wanted an extensive national series of town hall meetings, both in major media markets and small rural towns. They want the agency to fully disclose all proposed rule changes and give the public a fair chance to weigh in. The letter says the agency failed to be completely forthcoming about and allow full public input the last time it tackled media ownership rules back in 2003. Well, right now they're doing that. And I'm going to give you a website address that you can go to and watch a little movie and then sign a petition that'll be sent to the FCC weighing in on, you know, basically whether you believe that that we should have less owners or more owners. I say more owners of media outlets because, you know, when there's competition and more folks who are involved and more diversity of opinion, larger, you know, ability to get various topics rather than hearing only one thing out of one voice, I think it's a good thing. And I think we absolutely, you know, Head On Radio Network exists right now because we wanted to have a different voice, and we do have a different voice. These new rules could change exactly what we're doing. So go to hearusnow.org. hearusnow.org. And as a little side note, I'm going to play you a little song. And that little song is by the Austin Lounge Lizards. I don't know if you ever heard of them. If you've never heard of the Austin Lounge Lizards, it's a funny little song. It's called The Tower. I'm going to go ahead and run that, and then I'll be right back. Let's see here.
I was rolling down the highway trying to find a decent station, scanning up and down through all the format variations. Anguished Artist 103 was sensitive and bland. Wrinkled Hippie 96 was playing Cowgirl in the Sand. The Bridge, the Edge, the Hat sounded all the same, of course, because they were emanating from one giant central source. It was the Tower, big media power, beaming down from heaven every minute, every hour. Pervasive and insistent, abandon your resistance to the Tower. Got back home, sat in my chair, and turned on my TV. Two suits reviewed a movie from the parents' company. The woman said she loved it, the man thought it was great. The DVD would come out soon and they could hardly wait. They kindly thanked each other for this frank exchange of views. Then it was back to fake reality as infotainment news. It was the Tower, big media power, beaming down from heaven every minute, every hour. Invasive and persistent, abandon your resistance to the Tower. The Tower is a trademark of the Babel Corporation, which acquired Hubris Publishing for market integration. Owned by InfoWeb Net Systems, a food co company, a member of the Alpha Mega corporate family. I dreamed I was surfing from one website to another, following my roots with all my sisters and my brothers. There were gardens full of flowers, the grass was warm and green, till a monolithic shadow cast a chill across the sea. We must restrict your access in the name of liberty. But then a billion bothers made it crash into the sea. It was the Tower. Commercial free rock right after these messages. Big media power. Classic country hits from the 80s, 90s, and today. Beaming down from heaven.
The music of your life.
24/7.
Mass musica presto.
It was the Tower.
Today, a small group of activists.
Big media power.
This morning, a minuscule cadre of radical extremists.
Beaming down from heaven.
An active fund of extremely free radicals.
24/7. No. It was the Tower.
Mortgage rates at record low.
Big media power.
Enlarge your proboscis naturally.
Beaming down from heaven.
Meet sexy singles online.
24/7.
Try Progenitorovox.
Insipid and pernicious, don't abandon your resistance to the Tower.
That's right. It's the Tower. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America. We're going to be right back after this break.
Did you hear them talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. There was a big clue planted at the bottom of the very long lead article in the New York Times. That story noted the alarming rise in insurgent attacks against American and Iraqi forces. The number of IEDs in July was 2,625. Just about twice what it was back in January when Zarqawi was still prowling around. His death did nothing to slow the pace down of the insurgency. The shelf life of Bush propaganda is about only 1 week these days. But back to the clue. The last three paragraphs of this story revealed that senior administration officials are considering alternatives other than democracy. according to a military expert who was just briefed at the White House. Alternatives other than democracy, my, what can those be? Monarchy? Dictatorship? Oddly, in that same newspaper, the New York Times ran a headline about the death of the brutal Paraguayan dictator Alfredo Stroessner, proclaiming him to be a colorful dictator. The Bush administration may be looking for an Iraqi Stroessner or another, just more reliable, Saddam. And wouldn't that be ironic? Yes, Bush did topple a dictatorship, but in its wake he's brought death, destruction, and now perhaps rebirth of dictatorship. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Radio program. It's about 33 minutes past the hour. When we went out over that last little clip there, that little funny little that funny little song, I got a kick out of that first time I heard it. Even the second time, it's great, and it illustrates the fact that very soon we will be force fed one voice, and it'll be over and over and over the same propaganda over and over and over. Assimilation is imminent. Resistance is futile. Go to hearusnow.org, hearusnow.org, sign the petition there, check out the little movie, listen to the song, participate in democracy. Now, very interesting story, actually, and I saw this. This is the headline, and it just kind of blew my mind when I saw it. This is out of USA Today. The headline says, "Officials: U.S. blocked missiles to Hezbollah." Apparently, the United States blocked an Iranian cargo plane's flight to Syria last month after intelligence analysts concluded it was carrying sophisticated missiles and launchers to resupply Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. When I first saw the headline, I thought, maybe the United States, maybe there's a U.S. supplier of missiles. And I thought, to Hezbollah. And then I thought, oh, no, we're not going to give them to them that way. I'm sorry, the headline originally said Hezbollah was denied missiles by U.S. No, we're not going to give them missiles that way. They're not going to come in on a ship. Instead, what we'll do is we'll fly them over. We'll fly them over, and we'll fly them from Israel over into Hezbollah. Yeah, that's what we'll do. It's just kind of an idiotic headline. Now, there's a story here that I wanted to cover, There's a story here that I wanted to cover, and it's about a guy named John Gilmore. Thank you, Lottie, for sharing this with me. On July 4th, 2002, John Gilmore went to Oakland International Airport. He had a ticket in his own name with Southwest Airlines to Baltimore-Washington International Airport. The purpose of his trip was to petition the government for redress of grievances, specifically the requirement for airline travelers to provide identification. John politely refused to show his ID and was not allowed to fly. He then went to the San Francisco International Airport and attempted to fly to Washington, D.C. on United Airlines. There he was informed that if he was not willing to show ID, he could fly, but only if he submitted to a far more intrusive search than what every passenger goes through at the security checkpoint. He politely declined the search and was not allowed to fly. Showing ID, intensive searches. What's going on here? Sorry, sir, the law is a secret. That's what John Gilmore wanted to know. At San Francisco's airport, just like the rest of the country's airport, there was a sign that began a notice from the Federal Aviation Administration and includes the sentence, "Passengers must present identification upon initial check-in." John worked his way up the bureaucratic chain and was eventually told by United Airlines that there were security directives that mandated the showing of ID, but that he couldn't see them. These secret directives, issued by the Transportation Security Administration, are revised as often as weekly and are transmitted orally rather than in writing. To make things even more confusing, these orally transmitted secret rules change depending on the airport. John left the airport and has not attempted to fly in the United States since that day. He did, however, file a lawsuit. And now it's up to the Supreme Court to get to the bottom of this. Since John filed his suit, the public has found out several things. First, the Ninth Circuit has seen the secret law on ID at airports, and according to them, one can either choose to show ID or volunteer for additional screening. Many people have since chosen secondary screening at airports around the country and have successfully flown without showing their papers. Most famously, a member of the Department of Homeland Security's Privacy Advisory Committee. Others have tried to do the same and have been denied the right to fly. Signs at airports across the country continue to state that ID is required in order to fly, and TSA's, the Transportation Security Administration's website, makes the same misleading claim. A member of the flying public can never be sure as to which policy will be enforced, the law as stated by the Ninth Circuit or the law as it apparently falsely reads on airport signs and government websites. Until Americans have the ability to know the contents of the laws being applied to them, our republic is in danger. I encourage you to go over to papersplease.org. Papersplease.org. Now, there's a once you go to papersplease.org, And I'll tell you, maybe this is the best way to go find out about this story. Go to papersplease.org/Gilmore, G-I-L-M-O-R-E, Gilmore, and that'll take you to the secret law, the Gilmore versus Gonzalez lawsuit. What's upsetting about this? Why not show the ID? What's the big deal? Well, the reality is that having an ID doesn't really do anything for security. Showing your ID only affects honest people. If you're dishonest, you can easily obtain false documents or steal the identity of an honest person. So what difference does it make? Oh, wait a minute. Because now we need to have these RFID chips in our little driver's licenses. Isn't that the real ID thing that's going on? Honest people. If a 19-year-old college student can get a fake ID to drink, why couldn't a bad person get one too? And no matter how sophisticated the security embedded into the ID, wouldn't a well-financed terrorist be able to falsify that too? Well, the answer to both questions is obviously yes. Yes. Honest people, on the other hand, go to pro-life rallies. Honest people attend gun shows. Honest people protest the President of the United States. Honest people fly to political conventions. What if those with the power to put people on a no-fly list decided that they didn't like the reason for which you wanted to travel? Well, show your ID and we'll show you the door, basically. This is an interesting case. I do encourage you to go check it out. It's one of those things that is, in my view, another one of those cornerstone of democracy issues. Going straight over now to our good friend Larry Scott at VAWatchdog.org. If you've never been to VAWatchdog.org, I do strongly encourage you to go check it out. There are some stories there related to the study on PTSD that the New York Times reported on the other day. And I just want to read you a little bit of this. Far fewer Vietnam veterans suffered from post-traumatic stress as a result of their wartime service than previously thought, researchers are reporting in a finding that could have lasting consequences for the understanding of combat stress as well as for the estimates of the mental health fallout from the Iraq war. Excuse me, occupation. They wrote war, I'm saying occupation. The report being published today in the journal Science and viewed by experts as authoritative, and who are the experts, found that fewer than one in five Vietnam veterans developed a diagnosable stress disorder that could be linked to a war event, well under the previous benchmark of one in three. So they're saying about 20%. The nightmares, flashbacks, and hair trigger irritability that characterize post-traumatic reactions usually fade with time, the study found. But in 9.1% of the veterans, roughly a quarter million, the symptoms become chronic and disabling. These findings come at a time of simmering debate over the emotional effects of service in Iraq, which, with its lack of a conventional front, echoes the Vietnam experience more than it does other wars. The politicians are clashing over the Department of Veterans Affairs budget, including its $3 billion annual bill for mental health, in part because of a suspicion that the estimated rates of PTSD were too high. Last year, the department commissioned a review of combat stress disability claims for evidence of exaggeration or fraud. Oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's not talk about the fraud that the companies, the corporations are doing. The Arthur Andersons and the Enrons, oh, hell no. Let's not look into that. Let's look into see whether or not these guys who are living at $15,000 a year really deserve that money. The debate has angered a lot of trauma researchers and infuriated veterans groups who say that it is mental health services, mental health services too often fall very short, and that's absolutely the truth. The report's lead author, Dr. Bruce Dorenwind, a psychiatric researcher at Columbia University and the New York State Psychiatric Institute, is quoted as saying, "I'd like to think that this study would help settle the debate and that both sides would see that this was good science." He went on to say, "It's true we found a significant reduction in the lifetime prevalence of these disorders, but on the other hand, we also found that more than 9% had current pathology, which is a substantial number of people." Well, it's a damn sad thing that they're fighting over whether or not these people have been hurt by their service to our country. It's a damn shame. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap this hour up and move into the next one. You'll listen to the Bruce Burch radio program here on the Head On Radio Network if you want to get in on the show. You got a few more minutes, 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
You got my pride hanging out of my bed. You messed with my life, so I bought my lid. Even messed with my children. Screaming at my wife, get off of my bed. If you wanna get out of here alive, freedom, that's what I want now. Freedom, that's what I need now. Freedom to live.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. DUBYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. But we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org. Or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. Because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 10 minutes before the top of the hour and the last 10 minutes of the show. I earlier on in the program, I talked about played you a little clip by Bush doing his reaction to the wiretap ruling. And it really is amazing to me how like a petulant child he becomes when he doesn't get his way. It's quite amazing to me. interesting story. Now, I don't know if this is going to land any sort of course, you know, the right wing blogosphere is going to take a look at this and go, see, I told you so. Apparently an Iraq militant group has produced an elaborate video of what it said were attacks on U.S. troops, the latest example of the increasingly sophisticated propaganda war being waged by those who want us out of there. The Code of Silence, the name of the film, Code of Silence, was posted on the Internet by the Rashidun Army. I have not seen this yet, by the way, although I'll probably try to find it over the weekend. Thought to be a relatively small Sunni group which has produced videos in the past of attacks it claims to have carried out. It's almost an hour in length, and it is the longest and most professionally made of recent postings by mainly Sunni militant and insurgent groups fighting the U.S.-backed government. Now, the interesting thing about this is that they lifted some scenes from Fahrenheit 9/11. Lifting scenes from the Michael Moore film, Rashidun's narrator taunts President Bush in a softly spoken English over graphic images of Humvees being blown up by roadside bombs and purportedly dead U.S. troops. It was not possible to verify when the documentary was made or the authenticity of any of the images portrayed by Rashidun, whose name means Army of the Rightly Guided. At one point, the documentary cuts to a scene from Michael Moore's 2004 award-winning film where he lobbies on the steps of the U.S. Congress in Washington. The Rashidun narrator says, after all, there are honest and influential guys in America, and if Mr. Moore can talk to you like that, so can I. Interesting. In addition to numerous bomb and rocket attacks, the documentary also shows two militants painstakingly drilling a hole into an old artillery shell, turning it into a homemade bomb, and then burying it to create a deadly trap. It's out there. They are, increasingly using the media to try to get us to get the hell out of their country. Another very quick small story that I wanted to add into the mix before we head out and the Bob Kincaid Show comes on, which I'll be covering with our good friend John Fox. Walmart in the news again. Civil rights leader Andrew Young resigned as chairman of a group intended to boost Walmart stores' image after he made remarks to a newspaper disparaging Jewish, Arab, and Korean shop owners. Andrew Young apparently told the Los Angeles Sentinel, an African-American newspaper, that Jewish, Arab, and Korean shop owners had ripped off urban communities for years, selling us stale bread, bad meat, and wilted vegetables, the New York Times said. In a statement posted on the Working Families for Walmart website, Young apologized for his remarks and asked for forgiveness from those he offended. He's quoted as saying, I recently made comments about former shop owners in my neighborhood that were completely and utterly inappropriate. Those comments run contrary to everything I have dedicated my life to. Well, then why'd you say them, Andy? Huh? Why'd you say them? Why would you say something like that if it wasn't what you really thought? See, I don't get this. It blows my mind. We've seen this we see this all the time, every week. These people come out, they say these stupid, moronic, stupid things. George Allen with the macaca and that idiot out there, what's his name, Mel Gibson with the... The Jews! It's the Jews! And then they come out, I didn't really mean that. I didn't believe. I didn't mean that. Yeah, well then don't say it. You know, if you don't, you know, it's much easier to remain quiet and be thought of as a fool than it is to open your mouth and remove all doubt, isn't it? I'd like to thank you for joining me today on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Next up is my good friend John Fox. He's going to cover the first part of the radio program, then I'll be coming in a little bit later. I've got to take a little bit of a break and take care of a couple of items that I have to take care of. But this program on the Head On Radio Network was produced very ably and professionally and with a feather touch by my good friend and partner in the struggle, Agnes Kincaid. I'd like to also thank our good friend Peter Godbold, Godbold Computer Services, for being the guy that keeps the internets flowing very rapidly. Also, John Fox for being the announcer of and the chief engineer also of the Head On Radio Network. He's the announcer of my radio program. To Gene in Oregon, who is our Head-On Headlines News Ninja. Hiya! All the chat room mods in the Head-On Radio Network chat room, thank you very much. ELO Laterge, Peter Godbold, thank you very much. Also wanted to thank Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for being for archiving this show and for managing the streams of the Head-On Radio Network. To the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, you guys are building the American dream, and I'd like to thank you for bringing me along with you. I really appreciate it. And also to all of you listeners for joining me for another little journey down the garden path here on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. This will be it for me for this show today, and then I'll be back a little bit later to help John cover Bob Kincaid's show. David Rovick's up later on in the show. What else am I doing? Oh, yeah. Remember, folks, it's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you Monday right here bright and early for the Bruce Birch Radio Program.
A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And